Hello, Linda. It's been a while since I've been through your studio, but you know, I look at your artwork every day. I've got a print at home of one of your gorgeous trees. So when I think trees, I think of you.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us about this love story between you and trees.
Yes, trees are currently my topic in my artwork, and I think if I really think about it, it's been the topic of my artwork for many, many years, even when I was an undergrad in painting school at Western Michigan University. Mm-hmm. As a child, I lived on a dead-end road, and at the end of the road was a huge ravine full of trees and underbrush growths, poison ivy, all sorts of things.
Yikes.
And I just spent a lot of time down there, and trees were my friends. And I really felt the community of the trees, and I felt like I was welcomed and part of that community.
That was in Bangor?
Bangor, Michigan.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, not far from here. When you went to school, how did that develop, this love for nature, love for trees? And that isn't the only thing that you do. It is primarily what you do. But I've also seen artwork that you've done, portraits, that kind of a thing as well.
That's
or
right.
Insects.
Yes, that's right.
Stones.
Yes, quite a bit of stones.
Rocks.
I had a love affair with stones for a long time. And in West Michigan or Southwest Michigan, we don't really have a lot of stones other than stones that you see in a farmer's field, which they toss out.
Yeah.
And I was painting and drawing all of these stones just from my imagination. And I had the opportunity when I was teaching at Kalamazoo Valley Community College to take students to study abroad. And we went to this place in Ireland, the west coast of Ireland, and I made contact with an art college there. It was the Burren College of Art. And the Burren is a description of a landscape. It means the stony place. And once I saw that, they're just limestone, pavement, and rocks and stones everywhere. And that just filled me up. I didn't long for stones anymore. It just filled me up. It was incredible. I saw things that I had been painting for years and drawing for years.
Yeah. So take us into the artist's mind a little bit. You're walking around. You see something. What happens? How do you begin? How does that love process between you and that tree? Why this tree and not that tree? And then what kind of techniques? How do you choose which medium you're going to use? That sort of thing.
Okay. I'll start with, I guess, my communications with trees and my communication with the landscape. I think I read somewhere that, and maybe not just one time, but many times, and many different people would say this in different ways, that an artist draws or paints or creates visual art for a reason. And the reason may be they cannot communicate something verbally. So they feel that there is a need in order to communicate that, so they do it visually. And when I see a certain tree, especially an older tree, I feel that that tree has witnessed a lot and knows a lot, very, very ancient. I've been reading some books lately. One is called The Overstory by Richard Powers. It's a New York bestseller, I believe. And it talks about the aspens out in West, I think it's in Colorado, and their roots are just ancient, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And this forest is growing, sprouting out from the roots. It's just amazing to me. So there's that growth. There's that sense of community. I think they have something to tell us, and we haven't been listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I've been reading lately, too, kind of along the line of what you're saying there, that we're just starting now to learn that trees communicate with each other, that they watch out for each other, that they have ways of destroying the enemy and nurturing the sapling and
taking care of the sick trees.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? We never considered that before.
Yeah, yeah. That they actually have families.
They have families.
Or when you look sometimes at canopies, you'll see that They grow those treetops, and yet they don't touch each other.
They don't touch one another. Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. In your artist statement, you say something about the Western civilization as a kind of wasteland.
Yes, yes.
So explain that.
Western civilization, as we know it, and we're talking about all the way from probably, you know, even before the Dark Ages, I would think, when we've passed the hunter and gatherer mode, we've looked at the landscape as what we can do with it to mold it to what we want. We build on it. We build houses. We build cities. We build roads. Now, with mechanical equipment, we bulldoze acres and acres of trees for development and not even considering the life forms that live in those trees and that exist in that habitat. Yeah. And the landscape just kind of sits back and just kind of watches us. I think, you know, with my artwork, I think I'm trying to communicate the realization that we need to pay attention to it more and we need to embrace it more and realize that it's a very important life form. And actually, without trees, we would not have oxygen for you and I or animals to breathe on this planet.
Exactly. It is all part of a very complex ecosystem. Do you have favorite trees in terms of an oak or a birch?
I have, well, seeing this overstory book that I've just read, I have not seen this tree before, but I this is going to be a goal, a short-term goal, is to see the redwoods.
Mm.
I have never, you know, I've been reading.
You haven't been to see the redwoods?
I have not.
Oh, Linda.
I know. I have, in 2013, I visited the Middle East for the first time and saw olive trees, 800-year-old olive trees. And that was amazing. What an amazing experience that was.
Yeah, yeah. So do you live in the woods?
I do. I live in a wooded lot. And we were just visiting our daughter and her husband in Portland, Maine. And we got a text message from our neighbor. Our big oak in the backyard just fell over.
Ouch. Oh,
yes.
That hurts.
I know.
Yeah.
And it was very gracious. It didn't hit our deck or our house or anything. Mm. It was just its time.
Yeah, I live in the woods, and it doesn't matter. I've got hundreds of them out there, but each one, when it falls, I feel that ache. Yeah, so I hear you. Talk to us a little bit more about the technique. You have different ways of whether it's drawing or digital, or and how do you choose which, or do they sometimes overlap?
Yeah. Thank you for that question. I was schooled as in traditional media, so painting and drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from Western Michigan University. I got a job as a technical illustrator. Did a lot of work with pen and ink, ink on Mylar, ink on vellum, and then the digital age happened. And so what I ended up doing then is starting to do my illustrations using Adobe Illustrator or Adobe Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was working as a graphic designer at that time, so using graphic design software. And I had a business in the studio space that I have now. And we were pretty much known for doing the digital work. And Kalamazoo Valley Community College was interested in starting up a digital department, kind of trying to go from the hands-on graphic design and illustration to digital. And they asked me if I would advise them, and I was happy to do that. And then they decided they were going to create an academic unit, which was now called the Center for New Media. And they asked me to come on board, and I was a founding member of the Center for New Media, along with other faculty members, Karen Mattson and Arlay Smirnas. And so I was very deeply involved in digital media for a long time. So now that I've retired from KVCC, I do a combination of traditional media and digital media. And much like the artist Mary Hatch, she does a lot of digital media as well. And all of my work always starts out with a drawing. And my drawings, they're just so labor-intensive. They're it's like being in labor and giving birth, you know. And I see some people that paint and they're so carefree and they have this paint, and mine is excruciating. But
yeah,
I get the artwork.
It's extremely detailed.
Well, thank
and you,
yes,
you want
it
to
is.
Touch it,
yes.
You know, to feel that bark,
yeah.
Or that stone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I do the drawing, and then what I do is I do some traditional media of maybe some oil pastel, or I took a lithography class at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and I learned about this something that's called touche, which you paint it on your litho stone in order to get different shades of variations. Oh, nice. And I really love the texture that it creates. And it kind of reminds me of stormy weather in Michigan. So I paint with touche, and then what I do is I take the drawing, the oil pastel, the touche, and I scan them high resolution digitally,
okay.
And then I layer them together digitally. And then we'll have that printed out at a service bureau, large format.
Yeah.
And then recently I've been using encaustic, which is a wax, and lay that over it to build up physical texture besides the visual texture that I get from the oil pastel and the touche and the bark, the rendering of the bark.
I've seen on your website as well that you have a few series that you've done, illumination, pine cones, reaching in the air. Do you sometimes get onto a certain subject and feel that one piece is
That's
just
right.
not enough? You
That's
have to
right.
explore
I just have
it.
To explore it more until I feel that I'm finished, and then I'll go on to the next thing.
So tell us a little bit more about Ninth Wave Studio and where that name comes from.
Okay. Ninth Wave Studio is my studio on Walnut Street in downtown Kalamazoo. It resides in the Mary Louise Haynes House, which is a house that my husband and I own. And that's where my graphic design and illustration business was at one time. And right now, it's my studio and also a gallery. To show my artwork, but also to show artwork of our other artists in Southwest Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the name comes from Celtic mythology. I have a love affair with the landscape of Ireland. I spend a lot of time there. And I read a lot of things about Celtic mythology and the history. And Ninth Wave is from Celtic mythology, based on when a sailor ventures offshore past the ninth wave, he's free to not necessarily return home or have to do anything traditional. He can go beyond and experiment and see new things. He's free. So that's
completely kind of unleashed. Yeah.
Right. Completely unleashed.
Yeah. Well, it seems a lot of your work is influenced by folklore and mythology
and
that kind of a thing.
It is, yes. There's a spiritual aspect to the folklore and mythology, and even the ancient earth religions too. Yes, definitely.
What other influences, or perhaps you've heard of influences that viewers of your work have associated with your work?
Yes. When you saw a piece of my work, you wanted to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple art hops ago, we have art hops at Ninth Wave Studio, and a couple art hops ago, this couple came, and they were up in the third floor, which is my area, my drawing studio there. And they said that when they saw my work, they could really feel the presence of the tree, because they love trees and they walk around in the woods and they see these trees and they take a photograph of it. And then they're really disappointed because the photograph doesn't have the essence of what the tree had in person. And they claimed that they could feel that essence in my drawings. And that was wonderful to hear. And it was very inspirational.
Well, that's the artist's job, I think. Not just the image, but the essence, the spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. So your work is, along with Ninth Wave Studio, primarily in Saugatuck?
Yes. My work is represented by J. Petter Gallery in Douglas Saugatuck area on Blue Star Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sell artwork out of my studio per se. And I say that because if you come to my studio and you see something that I have there and it's not at J. Petter Gallery, you can purchase it, but we get online with J. Petter Gallery and it goes through them.
I see. Okay. Well, what would you like to add that we haven't covered?
Well, one of the things that Ninth Wave Studio is involved in, and I'm involved in, is a project that's called the Photosynthesis Project.
Oh, do tell.
Yes. And I've been thinking about this topic since I have heard an interview on, it was called, a program called On Being.
Okay.
And it was an interview of Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer by Kristen Tippett in the summer of 2017. And during the interview, Dr. Kimmerer stated that she had photosynthesis envy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And it's a lovely interview. And you can search for it if you'd like. But she's a botanist.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how simple in this process is, but how complex it is that a leaf can take sunshine and take rainwater and carbon dioxide and then change that into the oxygen that we breathe.
Yeah, that is pretty remarkable.
Just, yeah, and the more you think about it,
the more you envy.
The more you envy, or the more you just go, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. So, in a nutshell, photosynthesis is largely responsible for producing and maintaining the oxygen content of this planet. And also, it supplies all the organic compounds and most of the energy necessary for life on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was marveled at this, and I wanted to start doing a series of artwork. And I had looked at some galleries that were interested in showing the artwork, and they wanted me to come up with a proposal. And I'm writing this proposal, or trying to write it, and I realized this is so much bigger than me. I just can't do this by myself. So I put a call out to other artists and then also poets in the Kalamazoo area. We have a group of 13 of us that are working on it right now. Oh. It's kind of like an 18-month project. Right now we're just doing research, and we're getting together every month and just talking about our research and our development sketches.
Oh, interesting.
And
I'm going to have you back when this is all. So what's the goal point of this? Going to show somewhere?
Well, we're thinking at the end of 18 months, we're going to have an exhibition. Mm-hmm. And there's various places that are interested in doing that now, you know. But it's going to be an ongoing process. Something like photosynthesis just can't be a one-time deal.
That's true.
It's a group of artists and poets that are going to work on this. And one thing that I've always thought of this, and I've shared this with these artists that are working with me on this, is that Joseph Campbell said that there needs to be a new mythology for our planet, because the mythology that we have now is not working. Yeah. You know, it is not going to save our planet. And he states that it's up to the artists and the writers, you know, to do that. So, we're taking it seriously.
What month in the 18 months are you in?
We don't know yet.
You're not counting.
No, we're not.
It could be 20 months.
Yeah. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Wasn't there a poem that somebody said they saw in your work?
Yeah, there is. That when I was at the J. Petter Gallery in Douglas, I was there and a woman came up to me and said that she had seen my artwork. And whenever she looks at it, it reminds her of Longfellow's poem, The Introduction to Evagleen. And if I could read the first stanza.
Please do, yeah.
Okay. This is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlocks, bearded with moss and in garments green, indistinct in the twilight. Stand like druids of old with voices sad and prophetic. Stand like harpers hoar with beards that rest on their bosoms. Loud from its rocky caverns, the deep-voiced neighboring ocean speaks, and in accents disconsolate answers the wail of the forest.
Yeah, I can envision your work while listening to that, definitely. Yeah. Do you still climb trees?
No. I wish. If I was more fit, I would. But I've got to work on that.
Well, how about a little ladder?
A little ladder will do. A little ladder and sit up on a limb. Yeah, I could do that.
Do you have a favorite season when trees are
fall.
In fall? Yeah.
Autumn yeah. is my favorite season.
I imagine, too, you've learned a lot of botany over the years, no?
Not as much as I would like to. Not as much as I would like to.
Or does that ruin the art?
No, it doesn't. No, it enhances it.
Kind of like anatomy if you're drawing people.
Yeah. An artist friend introduced me to this a book. It's called Vegetal. And I can't remember the author, my apologies. But it's two philosophers corresponding and writing little essays and letters to one another about vegetation. And they're questioning, when we look at like a plant, like a house plant, do we look at it as a decoration or do we look at it as a living thing? You know, and I read the first two chapters of the book, and we have a bird feeder that my husband puts sunflower seeds in, and the chipmunks will get the sunflower seeds and they'll bury them, and then we get these little sunflowers that come up arbitrarily in the garden. And before I read that book, or those first two chapters, I would, without even thinking, I would go and pull those little seedlings out without thinking. Now, that's life. I can't do that. So now we've got all these sunflowers coming out of our flower garden.
Gorgeous.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for coming in to talk about your artwork. And right here in Kalamazoo, if nowhere else, go out to Ninth Wave Studio. A lot of the art hops, but you don't have to wait for those. And check out Linda's work.
Thank you so much, Zinta.